This is HPR episode 2349 entitled, Customizing My Bash Prompt, and is part of the series, Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Windigo, and is about 24 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, a detailed look into how, and why, to customize a Bash prompt.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Good evening, Hacker Public Radio. This is Windigo, and I come to you filled with regret. Regret because it's 2017 already, and I haven't done anything. I haven't done a single episode. So I'd like to remedy that with an episode about my custom stylized bash prompt. I tend to get over invested in user configs and the appearance of things. So my bash prompt has been a multi-year process of elimination and trial and error, and I finally got it to do what I want and look kind of cool. So I figured it's a time for an episode. So first of all, I should explain what I mean by bash prompt in case you're not a console user, you don't like terminals. Bash prompt, bash being the program I use to run my command line. So bash is what you, when you see a terminal open, it's usually running bash. There's other options, but I use bash because it comes standard on most everything. And the prompt is the little sequence of characters that are in front of where you type in the commands. So on old DOS machines, it was the C prompt, because it would have a C, usually for the drive that you're on, C, a colon, and a slash, I think. Maybe an arrow, I don't know. It's been a while. But Bash has its own prompt. It's very, very configurable. And on Debian, my default, the main prompt starts out as your username, the at symbol as just a separator, then the host name of the computer you're on, so the name of the machine, whether you're remotely connected or you're on your local machine, and then a dollar sign. And the dollar sign changes to a octothorpe or a hash if you are root. And that's about it. There's some other things that can happen based on if you're in a true root environment and some other stuff, but I'd never really gotten into that, so I don't know how to explain that very well. I'm just going to skip right over it. Besides, I blew that all away when I made my own custom prompt anyways. So none of that will actually happen if I do it. So buyer beware if you use some of the features that I don't support in this prompt. So anyways, I customized my prompt to fit my method of working on the command line. I have a pretty minimal prompt in appearance, at least at the beginning. We'll get into that later. So I try to keep it pretty simple. It conveys information using colors, if possible. So I have parts of my prompt that change color depending on what's going on my system. And I only try and show relevant stuff. So I've started with the basic Debian prompt, decided that I like the username and hostname, and have built from there, but I don't I don't put a lot of stuff. You can put anything that you can convert to text, you can put in a bash prompt. You can use Unicode characters. You can throw in any type of information. There are people that dump entire Conky scripts into something like a bash prompt, but not something I'm interested in. So, just to get or cover the basics of bash prompts in general, first of all, you have to be using bash. It's available for just about everything now, I think. You can even install it on Windows through their compatibility Ubuntu layer thing. But once you're running it, there are a couple files and variables you're going to need to know about. The first one is your .bashrc file. That's your bash configuration, your personal user's configuration. And all of the settings that I'm going to be talking about get set in there. That also means that if you switch users, so if you do a interactive sudo, like a sudo-i, and log in as root, or log in as your brother Herman, or someone like that, they're going to have a different configuration file. So you can either symlink your configuration file to theirs, or you can set your configurations up at the system level in, I think it's /etc/bashrc, maybe? I don't know. I don't do things that way, so I tend not to mess around with the system level configurations. But unless you do that, they're going to have their own custom bash prompt, most likely the system default if they're not terminal users. So if you want to edit things or follow along, you can open up your .bashrc file, which is in your home directory. So mine is /home/windigo/.bashrc. No spaces, no underscores, all lowercase. And that's where all this configuration gets stored. That file gets run or read by bash every time you launch it. So every time you open a terminal, every time you SSH into a computer and it runs a command line for you, that file gets interpreted by bash, and that's where it gets all its settings. And the variables we'll be dealing with, there's three of them, are starting with the biggest one, PS1. So that's a capital P. Oh, where's my phonetic alphabet? I should re-listen to that episode. Papa? Yeah. Capital Papa. Capital Sierra. So a PS. And the numeral 1. And that is your bash prompt, really, in a nutshell. That's the whole thing. Everything that appears on your prompt is in that variable, more or less. There's a PS2 as well, so Papa, Sierra, and then the numeral 2, and that doesn't show up much. That's called the continuation prompt, I believe, and what that does is that only gets displayed if you have a multi-level command or you're in the middle of a set of quotes and you hit a new line. So if you type in echo, single quotes, hello, and then return or an enter, it adds a new line, but because you're in those single quotes, bash doesn't execute that. They give you this continuation prompt and lets you continue on that string until you end it with another set of single quotes. So you can customize the appearance of that second prompt as well, and I do. I just set it to another character that matches my main prompt, but it doesn't get used much. You can leave it at the system default, and you'll be just fine. And the third variable is prompt_command. So that's, I'm not even going to bother spelling that out in phonetic alphabet. If you'd like to use that and don't understand what I'm saying, I'll have it in the show notes somewhere, I'm sure. And that variable contain something that is executed every time the prompt is. We'll get into that a little bit later, but your PS1 variable is kind of static. It's just a string that gets set. It can contain some characters that will get reinterpreted each time, but mostly it's just a static string. So if you want something to happen every time you run your prompt, you can assign it to this prompt command, and that gets evaluated every time. So like I said, I use colors to convey a lot of information in my prompt. There's a very heated debate, I'm sure, going on somewhere about whether bash prompts and terminals in general should be monochrome or color. Doesn't matter to me. I like colors. I use them quite a bit. So I'm going to describe how to use colors in your bash prompt or in bash in general. Colors are a series of characters using what are called escape sequences. So when your terminal encounters a certain set of characters in a row, it knows that that's a special code to set a color for the rest of the text after it. So you might see these as a backslash. They always start with backslash because they need to be escape sequences. They start with backslash, and then there's a set of square brackets surrounding the whole thing. And then often there are just numbers and letters, little hex numbers, but I don't use those because those get confusing. I use a program called tput, that uses the term info database, and I don't understand that a whole bunch, so I'm going to leave it there. Tput generates colors for me. I send it in a number and a quick command, and it sets all my colors up for me. It's fantastic. There's another sequence you can send it that resets to your default colors, which is handy as well. And I just have that at the end of my PS1 variable so that I can use normal terminal commands and they don't get set to whatever weirdo color I was using last. So tput's very important. It requires that at the very beginning of your bash prompt, the very beginning of your bash RC file, you have a call to tput that initializes it. So the command is tput, T-P-U-T, then a space, and then init, I-N-I-T, to get the term info or whatever it does in the background and let you use tput to set your colors. So the problem with these colors and escape sequences in particular, especially while you're doing prompts, is that they can only be escaped once or else all hell breaks loose. If you escape your color codes more than once, you end up with raw color codes just showing up in your terminal. Or, even better, you run into problems where some of it will be escaped, but Bash does not know how to count the length of your prompt anymore because there's invisible weirdo control characters floating around. So you'll have problems where if you backspace on your command line, it only goes so far, and there's leftover characters, and it messes lots of stuff up. You'll get wacky Unicode characters showing up. Your prompt will not understand how long it is, so it will start to overwrite itself while you're typing, and you can't see what you've previously typed, but it's there, and it affects things. It's oh my goodness, it's a mess. Don't do it if you can avoid it. So you have to assign your colors in a very specific way. I usually put them right into the PS1 variable. I experimented using functions like the fish shell uses to create your prompt ad hoc, and the escaping just destroyed everything. Not worth it. So yeah, the only way I've gotten colors to work and work reliably is to assign them directly to the PS1 variable, which I'll get to a little bit later, with escaped brackets around them. So I'll have, and I use the tput call. So what I'll do is I'll start with a backslash and then a left square bracket, and then I'll call tput right in the middle of the string. So I use $ and then normal parentheses to get the value that tput returns and embed it right in that string. And then I have a backslash, and then another square bracket. And that gives me the right color code in the right place, escaped once. I've had a lot of problems doing it every other way I've tried. So I'd recommend just putting the colors at the very top variable level, which causes some complications, but it works the best I've found. Also, because your PS1 variable is kind of static and doesn't change, it's hard, but not impossible, to embed system information that changes all the time. For instance, I have a mail indicator embedded in my prompt, so that if I have system mail, my username turns red. And the way I do that is I actually embed an if statement in my prompt, in the PS1 variable, but with single quotes, so that when it gets echoed, or whatever Bash does to print it on the screen, I would guess it just feeds it through the echo command, that code gets interpreted every time it gets echoed. So you can do some cool stuff if you're careful with your quotes. Single quotes are very strict, and they don't let anything inside the single quotes get interpreted when they're being assigned. So you can put variables in there, you can put programs inside some those parentheses so that they get executed and run each time your prompt is displayed. That's how all the fun stuff happens in my prompt. I just concatenate my giant PS1 together with a bunch of Bash script embedded directly in the prompt with single quotes. If you're embedding something that doesn't change a lot, for instance, host name, or you could even do it with username, I suppose. You could just put it in normal double quotes, or just put it straight into the variable somehow, and save some processing cycles. It's not going to hurt you either way. It's just a string, but otherwise, you can, if you need something executed every single time, you can surround it in single quotes. Okay, so now that I've covered all that extra information, I'm going to explain what my Bash prompt looks like. Because this is a lot of buildup, but not to actually have seen what it's used for, doesn't make it sound very useful. So here's what I see whenever I open a terminal. First of all, my Bash prompt is two lines long. I've got kind of an information status line at the top that's just its own line. It's left aligned, usually stretches about halfway across the screen depending on where I am. And then below that is the prompt line, which is always either two or three characters, very minimal, so that I have the entire terminal width to edit or run my command. So the first line, that information or status line, starts with essentially the basic Debian prompt. It starts with the username. So at the moment, mine says Windigo, and all of the default information or status is in yellow. All of the separator characters that break up that information are blue. So the first piece of information in that line is my username. So it says Windigo right now, and that chunk, my username, like I said, changes color. It changes color and turns bold when I have system mail. So if I've had a cron job that ran overnight, my username is red. It also outputs the mail notification that somehow gets bubbled up in a system, in a Debian system. But the important thing for me is that my username's red. I can go to any terminal, and as soon as I hit enter, and it detects that that file is not zero length, it tells me I have mail. So the second piece of information, my host name, turns red and bold when the system needs to be rebooted. If I've installed some updates, or some updates have been automatically installed overnight, and my system needs to be rebooted because there's a kernel update in there, my prompt checks for the /run/reboot required file and turns my hostname red if it's there. So that lets me know that I should probably start saving work instead of opening new windows and just give my system a quick reboot. So between that, there's a blue pipe character just to give it some separation. And then we have the current directory. And that is truncated to a tilde if we're in home somewhere. So for instance, if I'm in /home/Windigo, all I'll see there is a single yellow tilde. Otherwise it'll just append whatever folder I'm in. So right now I'm in /documents/podcasts/bashprompt. And if I'm just in a normal folder at the root level, it'll just display the whole path. So there are some modifiers on that piece of information too. If I have added some extra directories to the directory stack using the pushd and popd bash built-ins, it will tell me how many directories deep I'm in. So if I'm in my home directory, it's a tilde. But if I do /pushd/etc, the prompt will display that I'm in the etc directory, but it will have a bright red 2 and then a slash in front of it. So it prepends the number of directories in the stack. Then I can do a popd, and that number goes away, because if I just have one, who cares? Why would I display that number? And then after the path information, if I'm in a git directory, so if the directory I'm in is a git repo and has git information, it displays the branch I'm on in red after the path, separated by the little plus minus git version control character. I think it's a Unicode character. So if I'm in code/mycoolproject, and that's a git directory, the path information will say code/mycoolproject plus minus master or feature/whatever. Whatever branch is currently open in that directory. So that's the whole information line. That's all the information I really see from my prompt. And the prompt line is really just a single blue double caret character that points to the right. There's an optional piece of information that can show up there, and that is the number of background jobs I've got going, which will just show up as a single red number. But mostly it's just those double carets. And that gives me the full width of the terminal to type in whatever monstrosity I'm trying to run. And when I open up the man page for that monstrosity, it shows up as a number 2 when I send it to the background. So that gives me the ability to, at a glance, check and see what terminal's got jobs hiding, or has jobs hiding inside it. I'm a big fan of opening a file and then sending that to the background with Control-Z and checking a man page and then accidentally reopening that file because I didn't remember I opened it the first time. So having that job number there helps me avoid getting into an infinite loop of opening Vim and man and just checking myself until my system runs out of resources. So that's my whole bash prompt. It looks very unassuming. I'll add some pictures to the show notes of when it's first opened, and then I'll purposely junk it up. I'll put a bunch of background processes and directories and move myself to a Git repository just to show what it looks like when it's crazy. But I find that helps a lot while I'm working at the terminal to make myself productive, and it makes things more comfortable while I'm using command line. And I don't know, I've worked at it for a really long time, and I like it. So if you have some cool bash customizations, or if you use another shell like Fish or Z8SH, any of those guys, you should do an episode and explain what you look at every day and how to set it up, because I know some people do it using shell functions. I don't know how most of the other shells do it, but I'd be very interested in finding out. So anyways, I hope this is of use. Check out the show notes if you'd like any details about how I set up my font or PS1 variable. I'll include the whole thing, the whole monstrosity. And if you need to contact me, fragdev.com/contact. All right, I'll see you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.